smarter, dream bigger, live brighter.
This show is hosted by the dexterous diva herself, Miss Jo Gifford. Your new secret weapon for whip smart workflow, marketing mastery, social media prowess, and all the creativity and technology you can handle.
Hey guys, it's Jo Gifford here. Welcome to episode 10 of Work Smarter, Dream Bigger, Live Brighter. So it's a solo episode today, and it's the first one that I've ever done on the podcast. Thank you so much to the lovely Paul Kemp, who held the mic so well for me last week. And thank you to all of you who have sent some messages of support for him, and also to me as we go through a bit of a difficult family time. As some of you who read my blog and are on my list might know, that my lovely dad collapsed the other week with a brain bleed, and we are awaiting results to find out what that actually is. And obviously everything has crossed that he will be fine. And so as a result of that, and also my own health challenges at the moment, I've kind of come up with a new way of working at the moment. So for those of you who know me, this isn't a surprise, but for those of you who don't know me so well, I live with a couple of chronic illnesses. So the first one is endometriosis, which is a female condition, and it affects the reproductive organs and can also affect many other organs in a woman's body. And it's a very, very painful condition, which I've had for 20 years, would you believe? And through the long journey of surgeries and, you know, loads of surgical interventions, but most importantly, lifestyle and nutritional changes, I've managed to get that fairly much under control. So my endometriosis is something which is kind of always there now in the background. It's part of me. But I have got, you know, some kind of handle on it right now. The other one that I live with is chronic fatigue, also known as ME. And although I've had this for probably 10 years or more, it's only been diagnosed in the last couple of years. And for me, because I was always living with endometriosis and the tiredness and pain that goes with that, it was kind of always focused on that illness. And but I kind of, you know, I always knew there was something else going on. I knew that I was more tired than I was supposed to be. I knew that all the joint pains weren't right, that the feeling of constantly having flu wasn't right. And although everybody would say to me, you know, oh, but, you know, we're all tired, everyone gets tired, and, you know, well-meaning folk would kind of imply that, you know, just get on with it. Actually, I knew that this tiredness was way beyond any of that. So it's something which I live with and manage. And it's difficult. You know, let's be clear. I do have two amazing children who are 5 years old, my little twins, Eva and Mia. And I run my business. And I've been self-employed now for 8 years. I went self-employed in 2006. And I am so, so pleased about that fact for many reasons. You know, I've always wanted to be my own boss. I've, you know, had the budding kind of entrepreneur in me for years and years. But also, if I wasn't self-employed right now, then having a family and working would be extremely difficult. If I was working in a job, you know, similar to the one which I held years ago as a sort of, you know, as a senior designer, a new business, you know, development manager, it'd be very difficult to actually hold that down, if I'm honest, because at the moment, although I manage my illnesses, I am often blindsided by the chronic fatigue part of it. And if you don't know much about chronic fatigue, let me explain a little bit. It's a kind of collection of symptoms which presents as a syndrome, and it's always hotly debated by the health industry and the experts. And of course, it was known in the 80s as yuppie flu. It's still very, very hard to explain and very hard to understand for anybody who's not experienced it or doesn't know anybody with it. So for me, the symptoms present themselves as like extreme tiredness, and I mean, you know, so tired you can't function tiredness. Aching joints and bones, lymph glands and nodes which kind of swell up, a foggy thinking, so it's really hard to sort of concentrate and to function. Often nausea, kind of IBS type symptoms, and you know, flu like symptoms, and it will just be so hard to, you know, to actually function. And it's hard to explain because, you know, if you know me through listening to my podcast or through my blog or through social media, as you can see, you know, inside me, I'm a really active, you know, adventurous, fun-loving, confident person. And if you see me, out and about socially, you know, for drinks or at a party or out and about, then you would never know because, you know, I'm full of life. What you don't know is that I might have, you know, I might have had to rest, you know, for hours beforehand to be able to be okay for that, you know, for that moment in time. And I think I can quite often confuse people by, on my social media stream, being very active on social media. Being active on social media is very different from being active in real life. And although I might occasionally post something about a bike ride that I've done or a run that I've done, you know, what people don't see is behind the scenes the amount of preparation I would have had to have done to reach up to that, or the amount of resting I would have to do afterwards. And it's a very difficult thing to explain to people because often, you know, the misconception is that if you're fine when you're out and about or you're in public or you're being seen by people, then you're fine, full stop. And that's just not the case. So anyway, at the moment, you know, my chronic fatigue is having a little bit of a flare up, and that's totally normal for me. You know, this happens, and I manage it fairly well with nutrition and mindset stuff. You know, for me, I find that sort of meditating at least 20 minutes every day really helps me. It helps calm the nervous system, which helps, you know, calm the stress response and helps my body to cope. And also when I become unwell like this, although for me, you know, I don't view it as being unwell, I view it as just being how things are right now, I have to go back to pacing, which I find difficult as a type A, hyper-creative personality. And, you know, that means my brain is kind of always active. I'm always thinking about new ideas. I love doing stuff. I love being outdoors. I love, you know, being with my children. I love exercise. I love reading, writing, going out, you know, all that stuff. I love all of that. And to pace means to put myself on probably an eighth of the speed that I would be going at if I was well. So to give you an example, at the moment I am resting for at least half a day, if not more. And resting for me looks like literally, you know, sort of meditating or listening to some music, anything that's not taxing my brain or my system at all. It'll be catching up on Netflix. It'll be, you know, watching TED Talks, but not writing or kind of expending energy, basically. Resting is anything that's not expending energy. So now I'll get up and get the kids ready for school, do breakfast and all that kind of stuff, do the school run and come back. I will rest for an hour. Then I'll be able to work for a bit and then rest again for another hour. And the key is that to, you know, even when I feel better, to not do more and more, because then I fall back again. And this is just how it works for me. And I am not always rational with this. Let me, you know, make that clear as well, because I don't want to be like this. And the acceptance of it is a big journey for me. So I need to remind myself that actually this is how I need to be for right now. And so a really good friend of mine, Emma Sexton, who I have known since we were young designers in an agency together, and she is, you know, she now runs the amazing company Make Your Words Work. You know, we had a little phone call this week and I was kind of explaining, look, it's back to pacing again. I just kind of need to get myself back on that. And she said, Jo, you know, it's a closed brief. And we laughed because this is a sort of designer term for, you know, when you have a design brief, but the terms are really, really closed, you know, so you can't be that creative outside of those boundaries. And she said, Jo, if anyone can crack a closed brief, it's you, dude. And I was like, yeah, I totally can. And reframing it in that way, you know, reframing my situation of having to pace, having to be at home more than I would like to be or normally would be, it really helped me approach this kind of stage in a new way. And so I've gone kind of creative on it. And actually the result is I'm finding myself inspired by what I am achieving on less work in a day. And I kind of made a contract to myself. And I sat down and said, right, okay, I've got to plan this, I've got to plan out this shit now. I've got to plan out my day and my week to redistribute my energy, to be able to be with the children, to be able to do the work I need to do, to be able to function as Jo, and to also find some fun within that. So I got creative with my new kind of like addiction, which is my bullet journal. And there'll be loads more coming on the podcast and blog on that soon. But my bullet journal is where I am kind of outpouring all my planning at the moment, and I'm kind of getting really creative in there with my, washi tape and sort of planning stuff. And it's a great stationary addict's haven, basically, is a bullet journal. And so I started to map out my days and say, right, if I'm going to limit myself to 2 to 3 hours a day of work, I need to be really careful about the work I choose to do in that time. So I need to work smarter, which of course is part of my thing, right? It's part of my special sauce. But, I can teach it, but I need to make sure that I apply it to myself in a real world situation, which is that I have chronic fatigue and that I need to rest. And then I thought, well, actually, the goal for me in this whole kind of online business thing is to run a business on less hours a day to be able to be out there living. So whether I'm resting or living, I don't really want to be working more than 3 hours a day. So it was a great time to just kind of see, all right, Jo, well, let's make this thing work. Let's make it fly. So I sat down with my bullet journal and my pen and my Moleskine journal and plotted out, the days this week and the work that had to be done, and got really lean on the tasks. So, it was like, right, okay, so if I've got to do a blog post and I also have some other client work to do that day, or the boot camp, the blogging for business boot camp to moderate, I need to break down those tasks into smaller slices. So my blog posts become smaller slices of 15 minutes. My blog posts become dictated into Evernote on my smartphone. Or I start to crowdsource quotes from people to use in posts and that kind of stuff. It makes me really concentrate on where my energy is being spent. And on the social media side of things, if I'm giving myself all day to do stuff, I will really easily go down every rabbit hole there is and be in every group I'm part of, every mastermind group, and be in there, which is great. And obviously that all has a place and it all has value. But I don't need to be in there every day. 10 minutes every now and again is absolutely fine to be there and to be visible and to be adding value to my sort of co-colleagues or, co-workers in those spaces, but to also save time for myself. So I've got lean on where I am on Facebook. I've got even more structured on the way that I schedule my social to all the various platforms and then sort of jump in live to be there with people as well. And so, through the working week, I'm, obviously creating content for my own site. I'm doing guest posts across various authority sites. I'm still blogging for clients. I'm mentoring people in my social sessions group and in boot camp. And I'm doing all the other stuff which a small business owner has to do. So the admin, the email, the paperwork. But I'm doing it smart. And, I have all the tools there to do anyway. So I know how to only get into my inbox once a day and have it all streamlined. And I use, the email game, Sanebox, unroll.me. All of this stuff, by the way, you'll be able to find on my blog under the 31 Days to Smart and Savvy Tech sort of category. And I know that I don't need to be in my email every day. And what I've come to realize as well is that I will really easily fill my day with loads of stuff to do when I don't need to. I can work at a perfectly good pace on just 3 hours. And it's been such a massive learning curve to get clear, for example, on what is working and what isn't working and do just that, rather than being blinded by all these different techniques and all the different blogs to read, all the different stuff to do. There will always be stuff to do. There will always be things to read, people to respond to. But whether I'm unwell or not, working on 3 hours a day or even less is totally doable and is actually something I want to maintain ongoing. And it's kind of been a revelation for me to see how effective I can be on just that time. And I think most of us would be challenged by that. Would, you know, we're not Tim Ferriss yet, okay? So we're not, you know, outsourcing our very being, our kind of living, breathing souls to VAs and, you know, and yes, I do outsource some stuff to Team Diva. So I do have an intern and I do occasionally have some VA support, you know, when I'm busy and running busy programs, that does plug in. But at the moment, it's my fairly quiet time of the year and it is pretty much just me. So, you know, I'm not having outsourcers to outsource my outsourcers like, you know, Mr. Ferris does. I'm kind of not on the 4-hour working week. And actually, I'm not sure that I would want to be because, you know, I love what I do and I mentor people myself in the bootcamp group and in the social sessions group and obviously in my free tribe Facebook group. And I don't want to outsource that. You know, that is me and that's important to me to be there. So Mr. Ferris, you're awesome, but I don't want to do your 4-hour working week. I would be really happy on say 2 to 3 hours a day ongoing, you know, or perhaps with a four days of 2 to 3 hours a day. That would be just amazing. And it, you know, it's raised a lot of questions and, you know, made me realize that time just goes, you know, and of course, whilst right now I would rather not be resting, you know, I want to be out there, you know, bike riding, having PIMS in the sunshine, you know, doing amazing stuff. And, you know, that does happen just in smaller doses and, you know, spaced between other stuff. You know, it's showing me that my brain does need to switch off. And also not only that, when I'm more mindful and I'm calmer and I'm paced, then my work is more creative. Ideas are flying at me everywhere because I've had the space to allow them to illuminate. I'm, you know, putting in enough juice, you know, by the way of reading, of music, of other podcasts, of, you know, of watching stuff. And although, you know, I love to be in different environments as well, to for that creative stimulus, just being is letting my brain process stuff that's in there and I'm getting insights into new ideas I can do. I'm getting, you know, ideas for partnerships, for new projects, for programs, for posts, all that sort of stuff. And normally, you know, the old pattern would be, excellent, I've had this idea, I'm going to run with it, I'm going to launch it now, implement it, sort it straight out. Whereas now I'm writing it down in my bullet journal and going, right, okay, well, if that's right, you know, if that's something which I really want to do, then I'm going to have to break that down and put it into those precious hours of the day. And it makes me choose between what is really important and what isn't important. It truly is working smarter. And it's quite an interesting skill to relearn, you know, time and time again. And every time I reach a point where I have to retrain myself to go back to working slower, it's just brilliant. It you know, reminds me to be in the moment, you know, with my children, to be in the moment with me and my partner and my friends, and to be able to juggle the different roles of a mum, an entrepreneur, a partner, a friend, you know, a daughter, a sister, all that stuff. Because if I'm only saying, well, I'm going to work, you know, 2 to 3 hours a day, the rest of it, I'm not thinking about, you know, have I checked that email? Have I done X, Y, Z? Or I should be, you know, taking that should out of the vocabulary is really powerful. And also, you know, the biggest person to say no to is myself. You know, I've written lots on the blog about expectations from clients or expectations from friends and saying no to work favors, saying no to clients, making sure that you attract, you know, the right sort of clients, all that kind of stuff, and how to step away from the time for money model. I've written loads about that on the blog and, you know, so feel free to go and check that out on dexterousdiva.co.uk/blog. The person who I've not been saying no to is me. It's the inner Joe who's jumping up and down with excitement with the new shiny object syndrome, who's so excited about this new idea, these new stuff that I can create. And, you know, I'm a type A, hyper creative personality. That's part of me. And I love that side of me. But it can also be, you know, it can also be my downfall. I operate best when I'm able to be clear in my mind, when I'm able to have time to find space for mindfulness and for meditation, when I'm able to divide up tasks and not feel that I should, you know, there's that word again, that I should be on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest. There's a lot of demands on our time, You know, there's demands on our time everywhere, and it can just feel so overwhelming. And, you know, by saying to myself, no, Jo, you know, you're going to do scheduling for the week in advance, you're going to do these tasks all divided up into certain sections, and I will now write the time taken, you know, next to it, to kind of each task and prioritize it. And, you know, I'm now not letting myself add more and more and more onto my day. And as entrepreneurs, we can always add more onto our day. You know, I can always do one more guest post. You know, I can always be twiddling on the blog. I can always be dreaming up new products or tweaking the sales page or finding, you know, sort of new people to stalk on Twitter, pinning new images on Pinterest and all of that stuff. There's never going to be a time where we just stop, because, you know, certainly my clients are global, because I have the honor of working a sort of global business that, you know, that doesn't sleep. And I could really easily just be plugged in 24/7 talking to, you know, people in boot camp or people in my social sessions group all the time. So it's about setting expectations. And, you know, the wonderful thing about running an online business with a blog as a kind of outreach tool and a podcast obviously too, is that you know, is that my content does the talking for me. People can access me through the blog, through the podcast, through my free e-courses, through my free Facebook group. You know, my material is out there working for me. My programs are pre-written. You know, everything is done so that I can be sitting here today like I was, watching Zac Efron films. And, you know, believe you me, that's a great way to spend a Friday. I can be watching my TED Talks or listening to podcasts or learning or just, you know, drawing or doing some craft stuff or doing my bullet journal, whatever, because my stuff is out there working for me. And, you know, something else which I heard this week, which is so important from one of my mastermind groups, was, you know, so often we set the intention to manifest stuff or for stuff to happen in our life or business. And then we kind of sit there working harder, harder and harder and harder until it's here. And that, you know, that's not smart. It's not wise. We can set the intention, do the work to make that happen, and step the fuck away from the computer or the iPad or the phone or the whatever. You know, do the work, step away. And this is just being such an amazing journey for me, even in the few days that I've re-implemented this, you know, this whole closed brief reframe approach, by knowing that I am working within a closed brief, that I do have certain constraints on me right now. But actually, I only want to be working those hours a day anyway, because if I had all the energy in the world, I would be out there on my bike having a picnic, you know, with the girls. I'll be out there having ice creams or doing crafts or with friends. And I don't want to be stuck to my desk. That's why I left the corporate world. That's why I've gone self-employed, to have control over my time. You know, having control over your time is having control over your life. Because I think so many of us are entrepreneurs swap working a 40-hour week, you know, working for someone else, to work 100 hours a week for you know, for ourselves, because we can never be away from the iPad, from the iMac, from the whatever it is. You know, we're always plugged in. There's always one more thing that you can do. So that's me. That's my update for this week in my solo show. You know, my challenge has been to work 3 hours a day, and I'm loving it. And it's something that I'm going to be carrying through. And in future podcasts, I'm going to be talking about my bullet journal and how that is helping me flow with my creativity and my time planning. And, you know, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see some of my bullet journal stuff on there. I'm Instagram/DexDiva. And, you know, finding my flow offline is really helping my planning as well. And I'm still obviously like a digital junkie. I have my Evernote, I have all my apps, I have Asana, everything working for me. But flowing offline has also been really important to reconnect with. So listen, I would love to hear what you think about working 3 hours a day. Is it something that you could do? Is it something that you do already? I'd love to hear how you manage that, what your challenges are, and why you've chosen just to stick to those hours. And also, if you are enjoying the podcast, I would love, love, love for you to hop on over to iTunes and leave me a review. I've had some wonderful reviews already, and I'm just so grateful that you are here listening to me and enjoying my stuff. And as always, you know, you are welcome to leave me a voicemail on my site on dexterousdiva.co.uk. Say hi to me on Twitter at dexdiva. And of course, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/DexDiva. If you haven't already, you can join my tribe. And in my free Facebook group, we have weekly workshops every week by the awesome community within there. All of them, you know, sort of small business owners and solopreneurs, and just such a lovely crowd. And, you know, we have loads of support within that. We have loads of free tutorials, and it's just a great place to be, to learn and to connect with other people. So free access to that by signing up to my list on Join My Tribe, which you'll find on my website in massive letters. Anyway, I really appreciate you tuning in today, and do feedback your thoughts on either, you know, working with a chronic illness, on working on reduced hours, or how you plan your work around your life and your health and your family and all that stuff. So thank you so much for being here today. I'll be back soon with episode 11. Bye.